page number 213.
Lead. knows that I'm sitting back there typing and reading my notes, so I think sometimes he needs an electric shocker back there to remind me it's my turn. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? It's good to be here. Welcome to our visitors, and we're just tickled to death to have you, and please join in as we worship God. And very pleased to have Brother James and his family here. He's going to share some stuff for some missionary needs here in just a little bit. We're glad you're here with us this morning. We do have several folk that are back from extended, we won't call it vacations because I know they'd rather been here than what they were going through. But we missed you and we're glad you're back home with us. Still have some that are missing in action, need to keep on our prayer request list. We'll get to that in just a second. We have a few things. It's a little busier than it was right after Christmas, but so this morning will be our special offering for Brother Walter. As you know, Brother Walter's been dealing with cancer for a while now, and those bills, they just keep coming. So the second time the plate is passed around, that's to help him and his family with their needs. Also, as I said just a moment ago, Brother James will be speaking to us a little bit concerning some mission works. We're glad to have them. And then Thursday, the 24th of January, the Votex singing, Brother Travis gets that up and going. So everyone's invited to go to that. If you need directions, get with Brother Travis. They're going to have chili and stew and whatnot. So if you're hungry and want to hear some good singing, try to get off down there. I'm sure he'd probably let you sing a special, too, if you want to go, Jeff.
Amen.
I caught you by surprise. I return the favor to him every once in a while. Next Sunday morning, January the 27th, will be our youth fund offering, so come prepared for that. Nursery attendants this morning, Sam and Donna. Next week will be Michelle and Holly. Okay? Any other announcements that I missed?
Amen.
Amen.
Page number 23. You can't be any warmer at home than you are right here. So this is the place to be. Choir's going to sing for you this morning a song. I don't believe we've ever done this song before. I know you've heard it, so if you recognize it, sing along. But we just have a great time in the choir. Actually, if you're not in the choir, I kind of feel sorry for you.
Amen.
But we're going to sing an old song for you this morning. I hope you enjoy it. It's entitled, I've Never Been Sorry.
Listen, Jesus, sing.
might get in trouble for saying this, I have to say, you got that alto sounding pretty good over there.
Yes, sir.
There you go. So enjoy that song very much. Without further ado, Brother James, I'll turn the service over to you. God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is James Kreisel. I'm a deacon at Second Baptist Church in Malvern, and my family is here with me this morning. Since Second Baptist has, I think about 2012, has been involved with the Amazon Project, we have been very, very heavily involved. We've made several trips as a family down to Peru. I've went a few extra times without my family. But we've grown to just love this mission effort. And I'll be honest, I am a little bit biased when it comes to mission efforts with this mission effort. But if you had a chance to meet the missionaries and go down there, I know that you would fall in love with it also. Speaking of this effort, it is in Peru, and let's introduce you to our missionaries. So here we have the Parsleys, Brother Blake, his wife Melissa, Gunner, Grayson, and Oscar. They moved over in Peru in August of this last summer, and so they've been there and doing the work. The main effort of the mission is to train up pastors. There are a ton of church buildings down on the Amazon River, and a lot of these pastors, some of them don't even have pastors, but a lot of the pastors that are there are just uneducated. Not to speak badly of them, they've just never been educated. If you take a child that's been in church their whole life up to the third grade, and most of them will have more Bible knowledge than these pastors. So the main purpose of this is to educate these pastors and train them and to teach them how to train others and how to teach others God's word. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. Here we also have Michael, Lauren, and Emerson McConaughey. They're a second set of missionaries that moved down there, and they moved down in October. So the Parsleys had a few months there by themselves, and then the McConaugheys were able to move down. And the place where they live, we call it a compound, and it kind of sounds negative here, but it's just that's pretty much what it is. The houses are just right together, right beside each other. Matter of fact, they share a wall, and then it's within a walled area on the outside of that, and they live there. We went down and done quite a bit of work on their houses and trying to make it the most Americanized as we could, just for their comfort. Here you can see, of course, you know, Peru is in South America. And if you go almost straight down, we would be out in here somewhere. But if you see, can see this red mark, that's Iquitos, Peru. And that's where they live at. It is just a little piece of information that is completely useless. It's the largest city in the world that you cannot get to by land. The only way that you can get to Iquitos, Peru is by air or by boat. So Iquitos, Peru is where they live. It is a very modern city. A pretty huge city, to be truthful. It's very, very compact. Lots of people going and busy and stuff, and that's where they live at. There's, to me, Iquitos reminds me of what America would have been maybe 30, 40 years ago. It's has electricity, has air conditioning, has everything modern that we are used to here. It's just the way of doing things is just a lot more relaxed and slower paced. So here you have Iquitos, Peru. That's where they live, and they go to work and serve out in the jungle. Iquitos, Peru is the last major city, or the, I guess the first major city on the Amazon River. And so they go out from there, and their main effort is going out to the villages, out into the jungle. It's an endless field. Everywhere you go down the Amazon River, there's village after village after village. Well, then you have tributary rivers that run into the Amazon River, and off of those is just village after village after village. You could probably go 200-300 yards and run into another village as far as just on the river frontage. They're just stacked in there. Most of them aren't that big, 30 to 50 people. Some of them might have a couple hundred. But for the most part, they're really small. And this is just in the areas that we have been able to access. There are
villages just all through there, deeper in the jungle that we've never had the opportunity to go. And that's really why we're pushing this, is so that we can train these pastors, these local men, and they can work and then teach their churches the importance of mission work, and they can reach out in areas where we could never go. Of course, being on a huge river like this and being in the rainforest, the river is the life. It's their drinking, their water, their bath water. It's how they travel. It's their main source of food. When you get out into the village, I guess you could call the river their refrigerator, because that's where they're going to store their food at and go get it when they need it. So, but you'll see everything happening on the river. Here is what I'd call a mansion in the village, or out in the villages and in the jungle. That is a huge house. They even sprung and got some paint put on it. That is a lot bigger than what you normally see. A lot of times you'll see a raised floor with the thatched roof and no walls at all, or it might have half walls for one room or something like that. But this is, by our standards, would be maybe a nice treehouse for our kids or grandkids. This is a mansion in the village. Some of you may be familiar with this. This is the seminary that we have here in Little Rock. And as I said just a moment ago, this is the main purpose of what we're doing. We want to educate those pastors and teach them God's word so that they can train their churches and that they can train others, and this education will continue on. Here you can see, it's not as pretty as the seminary in Little Rock, but this is our seminary that we have in Santa Rosa, Peru. It is about an hour and 30 minutes away from Iquitos, so they'll get in the boat. God has blessed us. I could probably speak for a couple of hours in just how God has opened and closed doors from the very beginning of this work. This land, we own. We were able to buy. We went to Santa Rosa, and we went to the town and asked them and told them what we was wanting to do. We was wanting to do a seminary where we could train the pastors, and so they sold us this land. And interesting thing how land is sold there in this area. When you buy the land, you buy per meter of riverfront. So if you want 100 meters of riverfront property, you pay for that. Well, the land goes back as far as you could ever walk. So I guess you could walk to the other side of the continent, and they consider that to be your land. So there's no telling how much land we actually own. There's no way we could ever know it or take care of it. But we do have land, and you can kind of see there's a house there in the background. And then off over to this side here, we have basically just some huts that are built. These men come, next picture. These men come, and you can see there's families there. When they come, they make huge sacrifices. Some of these men will travel 2 days just to get here. There's been times where a man's traveled and he had just enough money to buy gas to get there. He had no idea how he was going to get home. The other men, the other pastors, they all pulled together, and Brother Blake's said what he was going to do. He was going to let them take care of it, and if there wasn't enough, then he would pitch in and make sure. And when these other missionaries or these other pastors pitched in, it was more than enough to get this man some gas to get him home. So they're very much learning God's word and learning how to minister to each other. There's been talk, several of the pastors wanting to go out and start doing mission work, wanting to go out and start reaching those around. So when they come to this, they cannot work because they're there to learn for 2 days. And so they'll bring their families, so we have huts that they can stay in and they can learn. As you can see, most of them are wearing sunglasses. Somebody had donated some sunglasses, and so we took it down. And they're always proud to get anything that we can give them, shirts, sunglasses, whatever. But these men sacrifice a lot to learn God's word. And they go and they're happy to be there. When they show up, they study, and then when it's over, they're given homework. So the first thing they do when they come back to the next time is turn in their homework, and then they'll go through their studies again. And we've been doing this 4 times a year, and we're going to continue doing that. We just want to increase the amount of time that our missionaries have with them now. So it'll be more frequent. Our missionaries will make trips out to their villages, attend their services, and work more one-on-one with these pastors. The area that these men cover, it's huge. It would be larger than the state of Arkansas as far as just the land coverage that is represented just in this picture. So what we found out not too long after Brother Blake and his family, the Parsleys, got down there in August, about 3 days after that, is Iquitos, Peru is a beautiful city. It has very beautiful old buildings in it. It comes from a very early 1800 start, and it's a great city to walk around in. The violent crimes are pretty much non-existent, but petty crimes are out the roof. And as we figured out real quickly, they will break in and steal anything you have when you're not there, and they're always watching. So what we've had to do is hire a bodyguard to stay there at the house, and so there's somebody there all the time. Since that's happened, there's not been one incident of anything, anybody breaking in, anybody able to get anything. This young man has been able to stop several attempts that he knew of. He could just hear him trying to come in and stuff. And so it's just a blessing how that's worked out. This man was a translator for us in the past, and came on hard times and was out of job. So this was just a perfect opportunity. It's also somebody that both the missionary families knew, they could trust. Makes a big difference when somebody's walking around your house at night and you know them. You can go to sleep a little bit better with that. Very good friends with the family, so it's been just a blessing. So the monthly support that we're looking to pick up is $550 a month. There are also some fence work around the wall, the exterior of the houses, that just needs to be done. And this is an expense of about $5,000. So this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to raise money for our missionaries that are on the field, and trying to help them get this. What I ask for you is to pray for them. Please pray for the Amazon Project. Pray for the people of Peru. For the most part, they are very open, but like anywhere, anytime that you stand and proclaim God's message, Satan's gonna come after you. I was talking to Brother Blake just this past week, and he was given the opportunity to go and speak on a radio on a Sunday evening. And they were waiting for their, basically, taxi to come get them and take them there. And out of this huge crowd, this man just comes to him, just picks him out. And it's probably a good thing he couldn't understand all of what he was saying, but was really giving him a hard time. And he said, immediately, I knew it was of Satan. And so you have stories like that. You have stories of people that hear the gospel for the first time and accept Christ as their Savior, and how God works things out and works pieces together. So God is working. It's not just easy as can be, but God is working and God is blessing. So I ask that you pray for our missionaries. I ask that you pray for the people there, and I ask that you pray that God would provide the money. We know that God is in this. We know that this is His work, and so we don't worry about this money. We know that He's going to provide through His churches, and it will be used. In the back, we have a TV playing with just some slides on there. There's a bowl of Peruvian candy. Please help yourself. There's also a prayer card. Please take that. Take that home. Pray for them. If you would like to contact them, you can follow on Facebook, on the Amazon Project. Brother Blake and Brother Michael both have pages that they keep updated on Facebook also. I encourage you, please, just pray for them. If nothing else, the biggest thing that you could do for them is to pray for them and this project that God is working. I would also like to throw in a plug. If any of you have ever had any desire to go on a mission trip, we do two trips a year during the summer, a medical trip every other year, and then a vacation Bible school trip. It is a blessing beyond what you can understand. My family and I went. I went 1 year without them, and then they went the following year. And so we were sitting in the hotel room before we came back to the United States, and I asked them, how important, what did this mean to you? And immediately they said, we want to do this again. Not to brag or anything like that, but this has been our family vacation. And it is, it's not cheap, it's expensive, but it's something that has been such a blessing for our family and an opportunity for us to grow. I would encourage you, if money is the only issue, don't let that be. God can provide, and he will provide. So if you have any questions about this, we're going to stick around a little bit after church. Please talk to us, ask us, sit and watch the slides for a few minutes, grab some candy and a prayer card. Thank you again for this opportunity to come and to share this with you.
I'm going to preach just a little bit, but if y'all got a question or something like that you'd like to ask, feel free. I can adjust what I'm going to do on the fly. All right, they're going to hang around for a little bit afterwards, and so if you think of a question or something, please feel free. Thank you, Brother James. I appreciate it very much. Appreciate your sacrifice as well and your church for doing this good work. All right. I'll try not to be too long-winded. Now, this morning, we did talk a little bit. Jeff does me that way every once in a while. Gets off over on part of what I'm going to preach. I didn't plan it that way, but that's the way it works. We're going to do a little bit of reading out of Matthew chapter 6. Don't have a lot of scriptures I'm going to read this morning, but I've been threatening y'all, or some of y'all anyway, with this sermon that God laid on my heart back a few years back. For some reason or another, it kind of all fits together. The Peruvian people down there live primarily off of fish and stuff that come out of the river. And so I love to fish, if you didn't know that. So can I take a fishing pole with me?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to count me in as well. All right. I've preached this before, but I'm not organized enough to preach it the same. So if you've heard this before, it won't be the same. If you've never heard it, well, it'll be new. I love preaching God's Word and the principles that are taught in God's Word. I think sometimes that we fail to relate what Satan uses against us. He uses ourself against us and our desires. I've titled this Satan's Tackle Box. So how many fishermen do we have here in the several? We have several fishermen and some of us that would like to be that are not. You know, when I lived in Colorado when I was young, my dad loved to fish. He carried a little fly fishing rod behind the seat of his pickup, and he would just take off up one of those cold mountain streams and fish for those brook trout. And I still have that rod, by the way, so it's one of my cherished treasures. We went fishing many, many times up those old coal streams and stuff. Williams Creek Lake, Cindy's been there several times. We used to go there and go ice fishing. You couldn't get there any other way in the winter other than snowmobile or hiking shoes, so we had an old 1946 or something like that Chevrolet hood, you know, they were real round. We put a tongue on it, tied behind the snowmobile, and we would trek up there to the lake with our trusty chainsaw because, you know, the ice was 2 or 3 foot thick, so you had to cut it, push it down in. We'd sit there and fish. Uncle Paul, Rocky, my dad, and myself, we'd go and spend the day up there, and boy, we had a good time fishing. We did enjoy those days, and we caught a lot of fish. All the while, though, I never will forget my dad always wanted to come back to Arkansas and go bass fishing. I know we got some trash fishers here, too, but to me, it's bass fishing, okay? I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Donna don't agree with me, I know. But, you know, back then, I didn't even know what a bass was. It always intrigued me. Dad always talked about these bass. And all I'd ever seen was trout, you know, rainbows, brook trouts, and brownies. Fished for them, you know, like that in lakes or beaver ponds. But when we got down here, all the ponds and the lakes were full of black bass. Those pesky critters. They're pretty smart. It's a lot of fun fishing for them, and it's quite challenging a lot of the times. Well, for me, all the time. Now, if you fish for bass, most likely you've got a tackle box, maybe a large tackle box, full of different baits and stuff like that. I personally have a 19-foot tackle box. And that thing is filled with all kinds of lures and rods and reels and different actions and different lengths. And for anything that I come upon, I need a new rod, okay? And reels on nearly all of them, and, you know, different retrieval speeds and line sizes. You know, those pesky old highly intelligent bass, they might want that lure to be about 6 inches deeper than the last time you threw it. So you got to have something for everything, boxes and boxes of lures. You don't listen to that part. Different colors, size, shades, some hard, some plastic. You know, top water, we even have bottom dwellers. And you get the picture, right? Those old bass, they're very intelligent critters, hard to catch. And on that tackle box, I have these things we call depth finders, side view, down view, you know, all that stuff. We spend all that money just to catch a stinking little old bass. Oh, and by the way, I even have an electric paddle on the front of it. That's so that I don't have to paddle it. I can concentrate on catching those highly intelligent critters. Biologists, by the way, say that a bass has a memory of about 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes, they forget everything that they knew. Now, I guess one of those highly intelligent bass told somebody that one time. I'm not sure. But it's complicated, or we make it so. So we work hard at it, catching fish, right? We perfect our pitching and casting and skipping those jigs and stuff up under those boat docks and whatnot, just so that we can catch a fish. Yeah, it's a challenge, but I do love doing it. And just think, what if they were as smart as we are, or as smart as we think we are? Maybe that's the right thing to say. I'll say all that to say this, that Satan is a master fisherman. And sometimes I think that we forget, well, maybe most of the time we forget just how wily he is. He's fishing for a much larger and a more intelligent type of fish. That's you and I. And he has a whole world full of baits. Now, you know, you may be tempted with one thing and I may be tempted with something else, but Satan has a large arsenal of tackle. Now, he's very practiced. He's been fishing for over 6,000 years. And he knows where we live, and he knows what draws us out. You know what? Some things that might tempt me won't tempt you, but that's why he's got this big arsenal. In his tackle box, he has all the pleasures that this life can offer. And, you know, sadly to say, the number one problem in our world today is our desire to enjoy life. I mean, that's the quest that everybody seems to be on, right? What can I get out of this life? I've said this many times, and I'll say it again today, but part of the problem when people come to church is they walk through that door and they say, what can this church do for me? When in all reality, the question should be, what can I do for this church? Amen. You see, people are self-centered and looking on themselves, and Satan uses that against us. Satan does not want us to serve God, and he uses all the charm that he has to draw our focus away from what we should be focused on. Intelligence. Satan's very intelligent. And years of practice. Now, I think sometimes that we forget maybe that Satan and Eve, how long did he tempt her with the apple before she ate it? Oh, that's a big theological question, I know, and I don't know the answer to that. And you know why? Because God didn't see fit to tell us. I don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. Could have been one day, and it could have been 60 million years. I don't know. But you see, that one tree in that garden that had that big old juicy looking fruit on it that they weren't supposed to eat, Satan dangled that fruit in front of her until she bit. Now, You might be sitting here this morning and know someone who has succumbed to the wiles of the devil, maybe to the point where they don't come to church at all, never did. They're enjoying the things of this life. Maybe they've been in church, they're born again believer, and something has happened in their life, and the grass is greener on the other side, and they have given in to these desires of the world, and they've got all over there on that side of the fence. And oh, by the way, if you don't know it, I'm going to tell you, the grass is not greener over there. The same problems that you have over here follow you over the fence. The fence don't keep them out. Now, you may know someone that's been addicted to drugs or is addicted to drugs and alcohol, and you might be sitting here thinking, well, now, preacher, I would never do that. I would never get drunk, and I would never get on drugs, and I would never cheat on my spouse. And church is full of people that fit just in that category that thought that they could tempt Satan and win. I would never do that. Be careful. Be careful, because Satan has ways of corrupting us. I'll ask you this question. Who in here this morning has more money than they want? I didn't say need, okay? Does anybody in here have more money than they want? Now, the rest of us would be glad to help you with that, right? Everywhere we look, we see people that has a desire for more money, because money gets you the things that you want, okay? Remember I told y'all my friend back so many years ago told me that my Warner was broke. I needed a new neater meter. And it's very true. We need to get our needs separated from our wants. But more money equals more needs, or more wants, I'm sorry, everywhere we look. So we work more so that we can have more, right? Who in here goes to work just because they like working? Do you? I know you're kidding. I know you. We work so that we can have more stuff. So we work harder, make more money, get more stuff. Guess what happens? Our stuff don't get used because we have to work more to be able to afford it. And it's a vicious circle that we get in. We get in this vicious cycle, and we wind up not even getting what we thought we were going to get. Satan's really good at that, isn't he? Boy, I'm telling you, it sure looks pretty over there. When you get over there, you find there's more problems than there was when you were here. It's a great opportunity, okay? Who in here would like to have a promotion? You know, you worked hard, right? And because you work hard, your boss, your employer, or whatever, he recognizes your dedication to your job, and so he offers you this grand promotion. You know, we're going to give you a big raise, maybe give you a company car, but you're going to have to travel. And guess what traveling means most of the time? Takes you out of church, okay? So our things get in the way. Our things get in the way of our serving God. Now, if that promotion is going to cost you your church service, is it really worth it? Well, the answer is no, whether you know it or not. It's not. What are we willing to give up so that we can have more in this life? Now, am I crazy? Does it seem that the most things people are enjoy happens on Sunday? I mean, think about that for a second. Now, if you're a rodeo fan, or if you've ever rodeoed, and I tried that a little bit when I was younger. You know, you go and compete. Well, guess what? The finals, where you win all the money, is always on Sunday. And maybe you like to play ball. We, our kids were better athletes than we were, and we love watching them play. And they were pretty good athletes, and they wanted them to play AAU ball. You know, anything wrong with that? Well, on the surface, no. But think about that for a second. You play ball, the tournaments all seem to end on Sunday. And we said, well, you know, we'll let our kids play, but they can't play on Sunday. Well, that hurts the rest of the team. And so you finally just have to say no. You have to choose. You have to choose. Okay? Even bass fishing. You know, anybody ever watch bass fishing on TV? If I'm not mistaken, those tournaments last the whole weekend, which includes Sunday. I used to, many, many years ago, think that I could go to church on Sunday morning. I could run home real quick, hook up to my bass boat. I could be at Lake Washita in about 30 minutes, and I could still make it back to church. Guess what happens? The fish don't bite until about 30 minutes before it's time to leave. And boy, them things will be biting like you're jumping in the boat. Next thing you look down, and it's too late to make it to church. Might as well stay and fish, right? I had to learn that I couldn't do that. I had to learn that Sundays are God's day. Amen? Now, never fails if you do. If you try that, you'll get off out there and you won't be able to get back. Temptation. We are all tempted to do the things that makes us happy in this life, when in all reality, we need to be focused on the things that benefit us in the next life. Now, I don't want to start anything that's going to get me out of church. Okay? I just don't. I don't want a promotion at work that's going to take me out of church. Now, I'm the pastor, okay? So I'll just put it like this. You got to be here on Sunday, right? I mean, well, I don't know any other way to say this, but just, okay, next Sunday morning, about 9:45, I decide I'm going bass fishing. Which one of y'all wants me to call you to preach? Ever thought about it? There's got to be one in every crowd. But you see, we have to get a mental attitude that we're not going to allow Satan to distract us from the important things in life. Okay? Sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? Because we like to go and we like to do, and maybe our kids or whatever. I like them. So I don't want to ever do that. Now, I want you to know and think about this. Satan can reach down into his tackle box and find something that will tempt you into not serving God like you should if you will allow him to. And he'll jiggle that bait in front of you until you bite it. You know those old bass I've known, there's a stob right over there on that point, and I know there's a 4-pound bass behind that stob, and I'll throw over there and he won't bite. And I said, I'll throw over there and he won't bite. And I know there's got to be a fish over there. I'll throw over there and he won't bite. I'll throw over there and that thing will bite. And I catch him. And I said, I knew he was there. Satan knows where we live. Satan knows what tempts us. You know, my dad, he used to have a lot of good sayings. And he used to say that if you play with fire long enough, it'll burn you. Right? It's true, isn't it? He had some other sayings like that that was true. But one of the best ones was that he always told me the best way to stay out of trouble is not to be where it's at. And son, he would say, son, sometimes it's okay to run. And if you see yourself being tempted with something that's going to corrupt your Christian attitude and your Christian walk or take you out of church, some things are worth running away from. Satan knows how to tempt you, and what tempts you might not be what tempts me. And if you don't know this, you'll find it out as you mature as a Christian. Some things that used to tempt me don't anymore, but some things that didn't used to tempt me does now, because Satan has that tackle box, and he uses it with skill. So, like I asked you a while ago, how often did Satan tempt Eve before she ate of the fruit? How many times must we put ourselves in the vicinity of the tree before we'll eat it? You know, I think of the garden and I think of all the things that God had blessed Adam and Eve with, the grandeur of his perfect creation. And out of everything that was there, one thing they couldn't do. And guess what they done? They could eat of the tree right next to it. But Satan kept dangling that apple. Well, I'm stronger than you, preacher. I can be tempted and not do it. Well, I hope you are. But I'm afraid you're probably not. Satan uses that vast array of enticing, worldly, pleasurable things to focus us on something that only lasts a short time, if at all. Matthew chapter 6. What a scripture. This is one of those that you ought to have highlighted, circled, and underlined. It's Jesus speaking, Matthew 6 and verse 19. And he says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If I could stencil that in our brain, the Bible tells us that we cannot serve God and mammon. We serve our master. Where is our treasure? Because that's where our heart's going to be. Jesus puts it best, doesn't he? Christian friend, please understand, we need to get away from the desire to please self and focus on our desire to please God. Our neater meter's broke. We need to get our water fixed. Things of this world only last a short time. Miss Jerry was joking earlier and said that the scarf was 100 years old. It's nearly as old as she is. I know she's not nearly that old. But guess what? She can't take the scarf with her. But the treasures she's laid up for herself in heaven are awaiting her when she gets there. Nothing nor anyone can take that from you, friend. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. We need to understand this as well. God does want us to enjoy life. Now, as I was preparing for this morning, I got to think about that. This might sound like that God wants you to be one of those long-faced, doom and gloom type people, and he don't. Christians should be, ought to be, the happiest people in the world. And believe you me, God does want you to enjoy life. He gave us laughter. He gave us music. He gave us love. He gave us feelings. He gave us all these things so that we could enjoy this life. But he never intended us to put that ahead of serving him. Put God first. Skip on down a few verses. Verse 33. Here's what I wish we could all understand. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I know there's a lot of scripture above that, but I want you to understand this. Just in Jesseville vernacular, when we seek God and put him first, he will bless us. Amen. Not only in eternity, but also in this life. You see, if we're not careful, we build a wall around us, between us and God, with things of this world that keeps us from truly enjoying life. Happiness is here today and gone tomorrow. True joy comes from in here, and it only comes from serving a true and living God. Where's our focus? Where's our focus? Everything that we have comes from God, folks. When we serve him, he'll bless us. Now, Satan's still busy trying to trap us. He's doing all these things, enticing him, change up the colors of the lures, and oh, he can make it look so pretty. But I want you to know this morning that when you focus on God, what Satan has to offer is worth absolutely less than nothing. Amen. Because his end is coming, because God has foretold his future. He might paint a pretty picture for you. He might say, oh, it's fun over here and this, that, and other. But he is headed straight to hell when God shuts the door. All I have in this life I owe to God. And I have a lot. Oh, I'm not talking about the bass boat and the truck and the house and stuff like that. Oh, I owe that to him as well. But in reality, what I have is I have a loving wife, 35 years, that still loves me. I have two wonderful kids that God has blessed me with being able to see saved. And I have six grandbabies. And I have a church family like you. What do you want? You can't beat what I got, because I have Jesus. I thank Jesus for the eternal life that he gave me so many years ago, but I also thank him for keeping it safe. I have so much to be thankful for, and I have so much to look forward to. You know, back when Jesus was crucified, the apostles, they went back to fishing. They went back to what they knew. And whenever he came upon them there on the shore, in John 21:5 says, Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. You see, are we fishing on the right side of the boat? Are we fishing on the left side? You want to be happy, fulfilled? Know your life counts for something. Fish on the right side of the boat. Put God first. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, you can never in this life or for all eternity make a decision any more important than that. Because that's really where life starts and death ends. You know what? I'm never going to die. This old body's going to, be changed. And if Jesus don't come back before, it's going into the ground. But one of these days, it's going to be resurrected and given a new body. One that don't suffer from all the stuff that we have in this life because of what Jesus did. And if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you can this morning. Have the same assurance. Maybe you're a born-again believer, and maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've kind of gotten over on the wrong side of the fence. Well, I want you to know that God didn't leave you. Maybe you've left him. And all you have to do is go back to where he's at. He's waiting on you. Are we focused on the right things? I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Just bow with me, please. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, thankful for the many blessings that you give us in this life. But most especially, Lord, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and what he done for me. And that, Lord, I have a brighter eternity in my future. Lord, I pray that each and every heart and soul that's here this morning that would be opened to the leadership of the Spirit, that they might truly know Jesus as their personal Savior. Or, Lord, if they're saved, maybe that they would get to the understanding that dedicating our life and our service to you is really where it's at, and that's where the blessings come from. I thank you for the promises you give us, Lord, and I just pray that you would help us here at Oak Hill and other churches that are represented, that we would focus on seeing lost souls saved before it's eternally too late. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 197. What can wash away?